the 16th chapter of the book of Exodus. And we'll take today as our text the words of verse 15. It says, "And when the children of Israel saw it, they said one to another, 'It is manna,' for they wist not what it was. And Moses said unto them, 'This is the bread which the Lord hath given you to eat.'" We're going to think about the manna that's spoken of here. Just to emphasize to you, chapter 16 of Exodus is all about the manna. If you were to give it a chapter heading, just those words would do. One word even, manna, or the manna. The entire chapter from beginning to end is taken up with that theme. The children of Israel, in their journey, their wilderness wanderings, were hungry, something that we all experience, that we're all familiar with, can all identify with, a very practical need, very practical situation. They found themselves with no food, and I've emphasized to you the time reference there in the first verse of the chapter, at an early stage in their journey through the wilderness. But what happened was that God, in his grace, provided for them. And we can be sure of that, brethren and sisters. There's a great encouragement for us in this portion as we study it. All our needs, right down to the very practical needs. The Bible says that he gives us every day our daily bread. And that's there's a clear illustration of that here in this portion. Every day in the wilderness, even in those extreme circumstances, the Lord gave them their bread, gave them the food that they needed. He provided for them a special food. We could describe it in that way. He provided for them a special bread. It was special because it was only the children of Israel in the wilderness that ever experienced it, tasted it, fed upon it, particularly here in this world, and they called that food manna. The reason why I say or use the words "in this world," they were the only ones that fed upon it in this world, is because the scriptures tell us in the book of Psalms that man did eat angels' food. It's not a very interesting reference. It's referring to the manna, talking about the children of Israel at this time, the bread that the Lord provided for them. And it's saying that this was something special, something different, something out of the ordinary, that man had the great privilege of eating angels' food. So does that give to us a suggestion that the angels in heaven, that they eat as well, that there's food that they partake of? In another place in the Word of God, it's described as the corn of heaven. Those are very interesting references, and I encourage you to meditate upon them and to study them a little further. But the Lord provided this manna, this bread for them every day. What an encouragement that should be to our hearts. 6 days a week, the bread came, the manna was provided for a period of some 40 years. If you read Mr. Pink's studies, it's called Gleanings in Exodus. He gives at least 2 chapters in the book to manna. If you read what Mr. Pink has to say, he suggests that the total provision over the 40-year period was in excess of 40 million tons. At least 1 million tons of manna every year. Now, in case you think that's excessive, keep in mind that we're talking here about a multitude of people that numbered at least 2 million. There were 600,000 men that bore arms, and their wives, and if each couple had at least one child, that brings you to almost 2 million to begin with. The omer that is mentioned, each person was to take an omer every day. That's 6 pints, so that's 3/4 of a gallon. It's giving you some idea of the amount of the manna that every person was to go out and gather and take for themselves every day. Mr. Pink has calculated that. He suggests that that means 4,500 tons every day. When you ladies go into the shops and you carry home the groceries and you're weighed down with the bags, keep in mind the provision the Lord had for the children of Israel. 4,500 tons every day. What a provision, brethren and sisters. That's why I emphasize to you the words there in verse 4, where it said that he rain down bread. Just think, if we're very familiar with rain here in this country, the abundance of it, and that the idea of raining bread, we use all sorts of expressions with regard to rain. Well, if it was raining bread, does not give you an idea of the abundant provision that the Lord made for them. And I want you to remember, as you think of the bread, the manna, the children of Israel receiving and eating that, that was the food of the people of God during the period of their earthly pilgrimage, their wilderness wanderings. And that provision lasted right until they reached Canaan, right until they entered into their rest in the promised land. And what this bread reminds us of, and there's various views that can be taken, various pictures, but the one I want to dwell upon this morning is it reminds us of the Bible. As we think of the food for the people of God in their earthly pilgrimage, the manna reminds us of the Word of God, which is the food for the Christian, for the child of God. The Bible is the food for your soul. Can I emphasize that to you? Sometimes we get too taken up with the food on the table. We forget about the spiritual food. Our soul needs to be fed. The Bible is the food of faith. Faith feeds upon the Word. And I want to stress that, want to emphasize it and encourage it in this service this morning. Think of the words of Jeremiah. Thy words were found. And what did he do with the Lord's word? He says, and I did eat them. So it's giving us a clear idea here. There's a scripture text, the prophet Jeremiah. It gives us a warrant to take the manna that the children of Israel ate as a picture of the word of God. His word was found, he says, and I did eat it. So scripture's our food. Scripture's something that we're to eat upon day by day. The manna is a picture of our spiritual food, and there's some considerations that I want us to think about today. Some likenesses between the manna and the Bible that I want us to ponder on in this meeting. You'll notice, first of all, the name. The name of the food, it's there in verse 15. It's found in other places in the chapter, right down at the end of the section that we read at verse 31. You have it also. It says, it is manna, for they wist not what it was. The name of the food was manna. It means, what is this? If you have a Bible with a margin, take a wee look at that. Why did they describe it as manna? Why did they describe it as, what is this? You're familiar with that expression. Somebody gives you something and you're not sure what it is. What is this? Is the way that you would respond. The verse actually goes on to say, for they wist not what it was. So that teaches us, when God fed them with angels' food in such a miraculous manner, such a special provision, there was much about it that they didn't know. There was much about this manna that they couldn't see, they couldn't understand. It was something even to the children of Israel, even when they received it and they were eating it, and eating such quantities of it, as we have pointed out to you already, there was some things about this manna that were unfathomable to them, incomprehensible. There were many things that they couldn't explain when it came to talking about this manna. And let me remind you, brethren and sisters, that the scriptures are the same. There's much in the Word of God that we don't know. There's much that's found in the Bible that we can't see. I have never met a Christian yet that says that he knows everything there is to know about the Word of God, that he understands everything that is found in the Bible. Do you remember what Paul said to the Corinthians? The natural man receiveth not the things of God, and neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. In our natural state and condition, we don't understand the scriptures. We don't understand the Word of God. What we need is help. Help from outside of ourselves. We need help from above. Paul says they are spiritually discerned. There's a discernment that we need when we come to the Bible. And it's a discernment that only the Spirit of God can give. We need him to come upon us we need his help. That emphasizes to us one of the mistakes that the new versions make. The whole idea behind the new versions is that if you have a better education, you would understand the Word of God better. If you change the wording and so on. It's all to do with education. Make the wording simpler. Change the wording. People will understand what's written in the page before them. But remember, men and women, the Bible isn't understood by education. There's not a doubt we need a certain amount of education if we're going to read the Bible to begin with. But if we're going to understand the Word of God, what is necessary is revelation. We need the Lord to come and open the book. We need the Lord to come and give us the eyes to see, the discernment that's required. We need him to reveal himself and the great truths contained within his word. Those that went to Emmaus, do you remember what happened to those that went to Emmaus? They had a special experience that day. Not just the fact that their hearts burned within them, as he talked with them by the way, but they had the experience that he opened their understanding. And I want you to think of that. Up until that point, they couldn't see certain things. They couldn't understand the Word of God in the way that they could afterwards. Because the Lord did something to them that day as they walked along the road with him. He opened their understanding. We need that experience, brethren and sisters. Paul says, the eyes of their understanding being enlightened. And we need that touch from the Lord. We sometimes sing those words, he touched me. It was interesting in my own studies in the past week that it was brought to my attention that there's different places through the Word of God were different of the Lord's servants that the Lord actually touched. I thought it would make the basis of a good message, so I'm not going to say too much about it to you this morning. But we need the touch of God, brethren and sisters, especially upon our eyes as we look into the Word of God. Who does that for us? Who opens our understanding? Who enlightens us when it comes to the Bible and to the study of the Word of God? It's not the minister. The Lord has placed the ministers, given them a task to teach and to preach the Word of God. But the experience that we're speaking of is different from that. It's not the minister, not the Bible teacher. It's the Spirit of God, spiritually discerned. There used to be an expression that you heard in church circles. You don't hear it so much nowadays. Talked about a certain person and they were spirit taught. Spirit taught. Now I know that that can be taken to extremes. But brethren and sisters, what a difference that makes if we are taught of the Spirit. And I want to emphasize to you today, as we think of the Bible, how unfathomable, incomprehensible some of the passages, some of the portions of the Word of God is. What we need is help. We need guidance. We need it in our meetings. We all need it privately as we read and study the Scriptures. We need the help of the Spirit. He's the one that wrote the book. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. The Bible's God-breathed. He's the one that came and breathed through his servants and guided them and kept them, watched over them and all that they wrote down when the Word of God was first wrote. He's the one that wrote the book, and he's the one that can explain it. He's the one that can give understanding of the Scriptures. There's a couple of old verses of hymns. I encourage you to take them as your prayer. Spirit of God, my teacher be, showing the things of Christ to me. Holy Spirit, shine thou upon the book we read, and gild its holy pages with the light we need. So that's the name of the foot. Notice in the second place the size of the foot. You have the size of it there at the end of verse 14. It says, and when the dew that lay was gone up, behold, upon the face of the wilderness there lay a small round thing, as small as the hoarfrost on the ground. So the size is given there, given twice. The manna was not big. It wasn't large. Some of the bakers today like to boast about the size of their loaves, large and extra large, and the slice good big thick slice and so on. Well, the manna wasn't big. It wasn't large. It wasn't an extra large loaf. The manna was small. We're specifically told that. It was bread that was little in its size. And in a sense, brethren and sisters, that's true of the Bible. The Bible is a small book. I know sometimes you think it's not so small at all. But the reality is the Bible is not large. Remember, just think for a moment. That book you have in your hand today, it's a revelation of God. Of God himself. The book that you have, that God has blessed us with, is a revelation from God. Think of the things that God could have told us about. The things that he could have spoken of. God hasn't told us everything he knows. Far from it, men and women. But keeping in mind that it's a revelation of God and a revelation from God. But it's just in one book. In one book. One book that you can lift and carry with you wherever you go. One book that in some instances you can slip into your pocket. The ladies can put and carry about in their handbag. I want you to remember that. The Bible is a small book. God is infinite. There's no limits to our God. One of the areas, the attributes of God in relation to his infinity is his omniscience. No limits to the knowledge of our God. And yet in the way that he has revealed himself to us, he gave it to us in just one book, in one small volume. If I could ask you to consider, and by way of comparison or contrast with that, think of the Encyclopedia Britannica. Maybe some of you have it in your home. The Encyclopedia Britannica, there's numbers of volumes. In fact, you wouldn't want to carry one of those volumes about with you. The Encyclopedia Britannica is made up of numerous large volumes. You couldn't carry the Encyclopedia Britannica to meetings with you. You couldn't easily afford to buy it. You couldn't easily distribute it to others. It's not one of the great works we want to be involved in, the distribution of the Bible. You couldn't easily read and study a volume or a book or a set of books the size of the Encyclopedia Britannica. So I want you to see the Bible is a small book. And what a blessing. What a blessing the size of the Bible is. You know, that's a thing to thank the Lord for. Sometimes we overlook the things we should thank him for. There's things we should lift our hearts and praise to God for that we never consider. We should thank him for the size of the Bible. The Bible, in many regards, could have been much, much bigger than it really is. If I could give you one example drawn from the scriptures themselves. The Gospel of John says, in the last verse of the Gospel of John, that of everything that the Lord did when he was here on earth, everything particularly that he did during his earthly ministry, did you ever notice the words, what it says? The world itself could not contain the books that could be written. There's so much more that could have been told, even about the earthly life and ministry of Christ. If you take his life, 33 and a half years, his ministry, 3.5 years, the Bible itself says that if God was to tell us everything that could be told about that period alone, let alone all the history of the world that went before, the history of God's dealings with his ancient people, Israel, if God had told us everything that he could tell us about himself, and about creation, and about what eternity was like before creation, and so on. Well, the world itself could not contain the books that could be written. Those are God's own words that are written in the Bible. So the Bible could have been far bigger, much bigger than it really is. So here, men and women, is an example of the wisdom of God, the wisdom of our God, that he gave us a Bible, gave us a book the size that it is. And I want to encourage you to think about that. And as you do, can I ask you, have you ever read it? Ever read the Bible? Ever read the whole Bible? The whole book? Remember, we're considering the wisdom of God in giving us a book just this size. And His wisdom should be seen in the fact, too, that he's given us a book that's not beyond our ability to read it all, to read right through the whole book, that he gave us a book just the size that it is, as small as it is. So have you ever read through the whole of the Bible? Or could I ask you in connection with that maybe another question? When last, maybe it used to be a regular habit with you, every year you read through the whole of the book of God. Well, when last did you read through the whole of the scriptures? There's the name of the food, the size of the food. I think I'm going to leave it there today. There's three other things that I had listed that I would like to tell you. We'll leave those for next Lord's Day, and His will will follow on. In some regards, that will be appropriate. This message, just to emphasize those who were out on Thursday night, we thought a little about reading. One of the things that we emphasized as we encouraged to give attendance to reading was the regular systematic reading of the Bible. So this is following on or building upon that. We're focusing in today upon reading the Word. We want to encourage God's people to be readers, and especially readers of the Scriptures. And keep in mind that next Lord's Day will be Reformation Sunday. The following week, I think it might be the Wednesday of that week, is Reformation Day itself. So next Lord's Day is Reformation Sunday. It was as a result of the Reformation that the Bible was translated so widely, translated into so many mother tongues, translated into English for one. We were given the blessing of the Bible again in this land, the light of it through the Reformation. So it will be appropriate for us to consider just a little more of the comparisons there are between the manna and the Bible. And in between, I encourage you at least once, Exodus 16. Take time to read the whole chapter. Read it through. Ponder it for yourself. The other way, just to suggest to you, if you want to take time to note them down, the other way to study Exodus 16 is it's a type of the Bible, but it's also a type of the Savior. We're thinking today of the inspired Word, but remember that the manna is also a picture of the incarnate Word, the one that came down, the bread of God that came down from heaven. That's what John 6 is all about. In fact, John chapter 6 is the New Testament commentary on the manna found in Exodus chapter 16. So read the two and study the two chapters together. We're going to sing as we close, 184.